Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Alex Contento, who's an admissions advisor at SUNY Cortland. Alex, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, talk a little bit about the college admissions process and SUNY Cortland. Very excited to be here.
Well, we are very excited to have you and super excited to hear about all the great things that SUNY Cortland has to offer. But let's start by asking you, Alex, to tell us about yourself. How long have you been in admissions and how did you end up in this position?
Yeah, so I started working here as an admissions advisor in August 2020. I was a student and I graduated May 2020. Business economics was my major. I actually grew up in Cortland, so then went to Cortland as a student. And then was devastated my last semester because it got cut a little short for because of the pandemic right at the start, March 2020. So we got sent home virtual classes and I was just so upset because I didn't want my time here to be over. And my academic advisor, who was the department chair of the economics department at the time, Dr. Burke, she is the greatest. She kept telling me, she's like, don't worry, she wasn't worried for me. I was like, I'm never going to get a job, like all this stuff. And I developed a very close relationship with her. And the fall of my senior year, so fall 2019 semester, she found me an internship opportunity on campus with our HR department. So I got the opportunity to work on a project with who is now our head of HR, I believe. And so I got to meet a lot of people, and that's in the building where admissions is. And the former director of admissions, Mark Iacovone, he was recently promoted. He's now our VP of finance and management, but at the time he was director of admissions, and I developed a close relationship with him. So then an admissions advisor position opened up, and both Dr. Burke and Mark had me come in on campus. I got to talk and kind of find out what the job was going to be. And I was so excited, but that pandemic slowed me down a little bit. So I wasn't able to start until August. But once I started then, I've been here. I work on campus. But in the fall and the spring, I get the opportunity to travel around, mostly down to Long Island to recruit students. And then I spend the other half of my year on campus reading applications, giving tours, helping with tour guides, things like that, open house events. So I've been with Cortland for a while now. As a student, I kind of took a little bit of a rough path. I did take a year off after my freshman year, and I had to figure some things out, but then I came back, and honestly, I did have to take like some winter classes and summer classes to kind of catch up, but I knew that that is what I had to do, and so I came back, I studied abroad, I did everything that I've always wanted to do here. So I think a lot of students think you have to graduate college in 4 years and can't change your major and you can't do all these things, but I'm here as an example of everyone's path is different and it might take a little longer. You might have a little road bumps, but it will all be worth it in the end. So just putting that out there. Don't worry if your journey is a little bit longer or a little bit different than most.
Well, that is great. Thank you so much for that insight. I love that you shared your journey, but also that you talked about the relationships that you developed with different professors on campus. As you may know, I know a lot of students that are currently at Cortland, many of whom have graduated. And that's one of the things that they talk about. It's just the family feel, the Cortland culture is really second to none in terms of how close they are with their professors and how happy they were to be there for 4 years. So having said all of that, Alex, could you tell us what is it about Cortland that makes it so appealing for so many students to want to apply and ultimately attend?
Yeah, so definitely what you just said, I completely agree with. Our energy on campus is just amazing. Like it sounds so corny every time I say it, but we really do. We really are a family, Red Dragon family. We, you know, anyone walks through campus, that everyone's happy, you're smiling, everyone, no matter who, like everyone gets along, from like the athletes to the different clubs, everyone kind of does everything together. But yes, the faculty and staff are incredible. I was an economics major, so I got very close with most of the professors in the economics department. They just go so far above and beyond. Everyone is just so helpful, even like everyone on campus. I was just giving a tour the other day, and one of the custodial staff came out and she was so excited to see visitors on campus. She took them all to the bathroom to see the showers and like parts of it that weren't even included in tour, just because she was excited that our prospective students were excited. So that's definitely like one of the biggest things that I love about Cortland. Academically, we've kind of always been known for our education programs. So like phys ed, you know, if you want to be a PE teacher, you know, everyone thinks Cortland's the place to go, which is so true. That's our most popular major. But we have so many strong programs aside from education. Right now we have 68 different majors. So I've talked a lot about the business economics major already. I'll try not to. It's just my favorite because I loved it so much. But sport management's really popular, exercise science, communication studies. We have so many different programs that I think a lot of people don't know about. We've just added cinema study and human services, healthcare management. So a lot to offer academically. Our facilities are always being upgraded. We've put $400 million wow, into just new and renovated buildings. So our Student Life Center is like the main attraction. Like that's the everyone's favorite building on campus. Definitely my favorite building on campus. It was built in 2015. So luckily that was right when I got here as a student. So I loved it. This building was a $56 million project.
Wow.
So one of our main dining halls is held in there, Bistro, which is one of our all you can eat dining halls. So any student with a meal plan can go there as many times a day as they want. And then this is also where like our gym is. We have a basketball court, volleyball court, always set up so that students can just go play whenever they want. We have our multi-purpose court, which a lot of students will play like soccer there, floor hockey, things like that. We have all of our cardio machines. And then we do have an indoor track that goes around the entire building, all the weights, free weights. We have our yoga room, our mind and body room, where like yoga classes are held. We have our spin room there for spin classes. We have two different golf simulators. We have a rock wall, pool, hot tubs. So, like this building really has it all. Since athletics and fitness are a really big thing at Cortland, that is like main part of this building. But we also have a game room. So we have Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, all the like gaming devices there. We have a pool table, ping pong, a few different arcade games, the one where you throw the basketball, foosball, stuff like that. And then our outdoor pursuits office is located here. So this is where students can rent out like kayaks if they want to go kayaking down our local river or local lakes. We're located right in the Finger Lakes, so there's a lot of different options for that. Some students rent a bicycle so they can have their bicycle the whole semester and like, you know, ride around campus and go downtown, whatever. Things like that can rent out for students in outdoor pursuits. So that is like the one of the main buildings that we just added, but also we've been renovating our academic buildings. So the most recent one was just completed in fall 2021, and they added a coffee shop, which has coffee beans that our local coffee shop, Coffee Mania, they roast the beans specifically for us on campus. And then the departments located in here is like health, math, business economics, archaeology, sociology, anthropology. So those classrooms were just renovated. The economics students have a brand new computer lab that I'm very jealous of because I never had that. So this building is like completely renovated on the inside. And same with our science building a few years ago, and professional studies, which holds our recreation department, exercise science, speech and hearing science, and sport management. So that building holds our most hands-on majors. So a speech lab was built for the speech and hearing science majors, because we have that at the undergrad and graduate level. And so that's open to the public. So, you know, kids, elderly, everyone in between will come, and our students will get to work with them, which is really, really cool. Residence halls. We just had a new residence hall built, Dragon Hall, which is quad style. So like four people in like a suite style room with a bathroom, their own bathroom. We are renovating our towers right now, Smith Tower, which is typically where our sophomores live. They're 6-person suites. So those are going to be completely renovated. So definitely our facilities, I think our campus is beautiful and the buildings are all new and clean. And I definitely think that makes a huge difference.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction in terms of all you offer in your classrooms and beyond. I'm happy to say that I was personally on campus a couple of years ago for a Cortica game, and the campus is in fact beautiful, and the spirit, the energy at the game was second to none. We had so much fun as a family visiting. So Alex, let me ask you, how many applications do you review a year, and do you represent a specific region?
So my area of recruitment is Nassau and Suffolk County. So that's where I get to travel and go to college fairs, college visits, work with students. However, I do not review all the applications from Long Island, because that is the majority of our applications. So we're a very popular school on Long Island. So that is where we get a lot of applications, a lot of students. So that would be like thousands and thousands of applications for me. We did receive over 12,000 applications this year.
Wow.
Yes. So we had a very successful year. Each of our admissions counselors read at least a few thousand applications every year. But we do it alphabetically. Most schools do review their applications by territory. It would just be very overwhelming for me to have to read all of those.
Understood. And thank you so much, Alex. Could you walk us through the process of how you evaluate so many applications? Are there teams of people representing different regions? If so, how many applications is each group reviewing? Whatever insight you could provide would be greatly appreciated.
So we accept applications through the Common App and the SUNY app. There's not really like a preference between either one. It's what works for us. I always tell students if they are planning on applying to a lot of like private schools and SUNY schools, the Common App would probably be a better option for them. If they know they just want to apply to SUNY schools, SUNY app would work just as well. So our admissions criteria, we look on the student's transcript, we get on, look at the courses they're taking. So we require students to complete 4 years of English and social studies in high school, and then 3 years of Regents Math, Regents Science, and Foreign Language. So we look heavily at the courses students are taking. We look at their GPA and grades on the transcript as well. And then on the application itself is where we can learn everything else about them. Read their essay, what activities they've been doing, things like that. We don't look at SAT or ACT test scores, so there is no need for students to submit them. The way our process works is we have a committee that reviews applications. So it's at least two people will be looking at every application before the final decision is made. So an extra set of eyes. And then we do mail out all of our decisions through the paper mail. And our early action, we have an early action process. So the deadline for that is November 15th. And that doesn't change. That's the same every year, regardless of what day of the week November 15th falls on. But if students apply as an early action applicant before November 15th, they are guaranteed to receive a decision from us by January 1st. So we usually start sending out our acceptance letters around Christmas time. So it's an exciting Christmas present for students. But we do kind of have a priority deadline of December 1st. So we do rolling admissions, meaning we continue to accept applications so that December 1st isn't like strict deadline. But the earlier students get their application in, the earlier they'll hear back from us. We review every application based on date of entry. So we have all of our early action letters out by January 1st, and then we'll continue to send out decision letters for our rolling admissions process every week after that. And especially this year, since we received so many applications, students, maybe really strong students applied, but they applied like in March or even end of February. Our class was pretty much full. So a lot of students had to be placed on our wait list. So I kind of just a suggestion, and I'll talk about this as well later, but the earlier get the application in, the better.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. That's great insight. We truly appreciate it. So Alex, could you tell us what is the average profile of the current freshman class in terms of GPA and any other related data you may collect, such as SAT or ACT scores?
Yeah, so the average GPA we see is around 87 to 93. Obviously, scores do exceed that, and below an 87 doesn't mean a student is denied. That's just the average GPA we see with our applicants. So we're looking for a solid B student. Through till 2024, at least, we won't be looking at SAT or ACT test scores, and we won't be using those in our decision-making process at all. So submitting those won't help or hurt a student. So we're mostly focused on strong coursework, like I said earlier, 4 years of English and social studies, and then 3 years of math and science at the Regents level. So typically students go through to Algebra 2 and chemistry. And then we looked for 3 years of foreign language. There is some leeway there. Sometimes students will be lacking 1 year in one of these subjects. Say this is just a hypothetical example. A student only has 2 years of foreign language, but they took courses that are at the AP, IB, or college level. That can kind of help make up for the lack of one area as far as that. But basically, we're just like focused on coursework, GPA, any extracurricular involvement can always help a student as well.
Well, that's very interesting that you mentioned that you do not look at SAT or ACT scores. So regardless of whether or not the students submit those test scores, SUNY Cortland does not look at them. Is that correct?
It is correct. Well, through to 2024, at least.
Well, thank you so much for that insight. I truly appreciate it. And so if a prospective student falls a little below the current freshman average in terms of GPA, what are some of the things that they can do to help enhance their overall application?
So we definitely look at the courses students are taking. So if a student's GPA is a little lower, but they've been taking AP classes, college level, IB, just like challenging themselves as far as what they're taking, that will definitely stand out to us. Any upward trend in academics, so say a student does poorly their freshman year. Like, that transition to high school is difficult, but they continue to increase every year as far as their grades, and they keep pushing themselves and taking challenging classes. That's definitely a really important thing to see as well. So GPA isn't like the only thing we're focused on. It's definitely the courses taking that students are taking, making sure they're pushing themselves as far as that.
Well, we really appreciate that. And Alex, speaking of the GPA, do you use the student's high school GPA as indicated on their transcript, or do you recalculate it using your own metrics?
Yeah. So we definitely look at the transcript for the student's GPA, and we look at unweighted and weighted GPA, take that into consideration. There are some times where, because every school does things a little differently as far as how they weight specific classes, honors classes, AP classes, worth a little more, things like that. So sometimes application or transcripts will look a little funky as far as that goes. So we will hand calculate them using the core subjects that students take. So English, science, math, social studies. Just to kind of make sure everything is actually to the level that it seems listed with that weighted GPA. But for the most part, we just look for the GPA listed on their transcript, and then we'll look at the individual grades for the individual classes to kind of make sure it's matching up.
Understood, and thank you so much for that. Alex, does Cortland accept AP, IB, or SAT subject scores for credit?
Yes. So we definitely, if a student receives a C- or higher in any college level course, we will accept the credits. A 3 or better on any AP exam, and then 4 or better for the IB. And actually, for students that are really interested, we do have on our website our transfer equivalency chart, which kind of maps out how the credits would be transferred over. But we definitely love to see those AP, IB, and college level classes. So I definitely suggest to students, if they have the opportunity to take any of those in high school, definitely do so, because coming in to school already having college credits will set any student ahead a little bit. And also from an admissions standpoint, we love to see that. So yes, definitely.
Well, that's great insight. Thank you again so much. And Alex, a student's activity sheet is another piece of their overall application. What are the kinds of things you're looking for beyond the work they did in the classroom?
Yeah, so definitely looking for like a well-rounded student, things like athletics, student clubs, volunteer work, things like that. Any extracurriculars really that get them active outside of the classroom is definitely a great thing. I like to see that students can balance academics and extracurriculars. Because Cortland is such an active campus, we have like 80 different student clubs, things like that. So students, most students do get involved here on campus. So it's important to see that they can balance their academics and extracurriculars.
Understood. And how important are students' grades in senior year? And can you give an example of why a student's senior year grades made you change your mind regarding their admission status?
Yeah, so I do think a lot of students think that senior year is their time to like take it easy and take easier classes and not really worry as much. But we do look at what classes they're taking in their senior year. So as far like we look to make sure they're still pushing themselves as far as the classes they're taking. And then there will be some situations where we may request a student's mid-year grades once they become available. So usually by like January, February, a student mid-year grades will become available. So then we can kind of just see how they're doing their senior year, making sure they're still pushing themselves before we make our decision. So our early action process I talked about earlier, kind of sometimes we aren't ready to make a decision on a student. So that is when we will say, okay, we received your application. We're just going to request your mid-year grades once those become available to see how the senior year is going, and then we'll make our decision from there. So it is definitely important for students to keep their grades up their senior year.
Well, we appreciate that. And another piece of the application, of course, is the essay. So, Alex, what are some examples of college essays that really stuck with you? In other words, when you read them, you thought, this kid has to come to school to SUNY Cortland.
Okay, so honestly, there have been times where I have cried reading college essays. I laugh reading essays. I am blown away reading them. So I love to read essays. So just like really quick, I'm going to kind of say like what hasn't stuck with me. So the pandemic has obviously been so challenging for all of us, and some more than others. But there is an option on the Common App where students can write about the disturbance they've had with COVID-19. So I definitely think students should talk about COVID and their effects in that section and not during their essay. A good tip for their essay, so we can see how a student's doing academically on their transcript. So this is a time for students to talk about who they are outside of the classroom. So I always suggest that students don't write about their academics unless they feel very strongly about that. Most essays we see are related to sports or sports injuries, any childhood trauma that kind of shaped the student to be the way they are. Some students like to share their struggle with mental health issues, things like that. So this is definitely just how we can learn about a student outside of the classroom. And anything that really has shaped who they are, anything that's super important to know about them.
Well, I appreciate that and those examples. Alex, do you offer supports for students that may have had an IEP or a 504 in high school? And if so, can you explain?
So we have our disability resource office on campus that works with students to make sure that they have the support to be successful at Cortland. So students can apply on our website to fill out the new student accessibility request, and that will ask them a series of questions, and then the office will reach back to them to set up a meeting to make sure that those students have all of the correct accommodations. But we have so many different options for academic support for all students. So included in tuition, students get 1 hour per week per class of free peer tutoring. For example, I really struggled with math. So every week I would go to the math tutor and she would help me with my homework. She would make me study guides before tests, things like that. So that support is there for all students.
Great.
And then most classes, especially our upper level classes, offer the help of a TA. So the TA is a student that's already taken the class and gotten a B+ or higher. Usually they're handpicked by the professor. At the end of the semester, they will ask if they're interested in being a TA. And so these TAs, they're never the ones teaching the class. It's always taught by your professor. The TAs are just there for help as well. Homework assignments, usually before a big test, they'll have like group study sessions. So the TA will come in front of the class and say, okay, anyone interested in working on studying for the exam, I'll be in the library for first floor at 4 p.m., just for an example. So there are a lot of different options for academic support. And then every professor has a specific number of office hours per week. And so that's like where they're in their office, open door, you can go in for anything you need, want that extra help with homework, anything, just talk. They're there available for students. And a lot of times students can email or set up a time with their professor to make a meeting to go into their office if they need something else. So the help is there for all students.
Well, that's great to hear. And you're absolutely right. It sounds like there is help for all students. So I really appreciate that insight. What about students aspiring to play sports in college? What advice do you have for prospective student athletes in terms of making their intentions to play known?
Yeah, so definitely step one before anything else is to research the school. So make sure that, like, you know, are they Division I, Division II, Division III, what sports they offer. If a student knows someone else that goes to that school that maybe is on the team or knows people on the team, I always tell them to kind of talk to them and see if they liked their experience or how the process was for them to just kind of see if it's something they're even interested in. And then on our website, when they're looking more into that, always suggest to see if there's a prospect camp. So prospect camps are when students can come on campus and play. It's basically like a sports camp with the current team and the coaching staff. So I definitely always suggest, if we do offer a prospect camp and students are very interested, to attend that. And definitely email the coaches expressing interest. So all the coaches' contact info is right there on our website. So I always suggest to send it to all of them. It'll say the head coach and the assistant coaches, or if there's an associate head coach. So include all of them in that email. And then stay in touch throughout the whole process with the coaches during the admissions process, so they know that you're still very interested.
Well, those are great pieces of advice and great insight, Alex. I appreciate everything that you've been talking about throughout this entire conversation, which leads us to our last question. So, Alex, what are the three top pieces of advice you would give a student and their parents who are getting ready for the college admissions process?
Yeah, so definitely, no matter where you're looking, whether it be Cortland, wherever, visit the campus. I definitely don't think that students should make a decision before visiting the campus, just so they can, you know, feel the energy and see what it's like, the facilities, the student life. So I know here at SUNY Cortland, we do offer tours throughout the entire summer. But we also do during the school year, during the semester, fall and spring. And then we do offer some open house events as well. So for students that can only come and see it in the summer, that I totally understand. But if students have the opportunity to visit during the semester, I definitely suggest that, because that's when our campus is full. The students are there. You can, you know, see, look at, oh, do these students look happy? You know, just little things like that. So you can really feel the energy on campus. I definitely think that's very important, because I do know some students that were like, on paper, this school looks perfect, has everything you want, but then you just step on campus and instantly just didn't feel right for them. Or the opposite, think maybe, oh, I don't know if I want to go there, then step on, you're like, oh, this is, campus is beautiful, I love the energy, these people are amazing. So that's definitely an important thing to do before making a decision. And I did talk about this earlier, but I'll go more in depth. So any student that you're interested in going to a school, get your application in as early as possible. So like I talked about, our early action process, November 15th, but definitely get, we like to see those applications in by December, because classes do fill up quick. So this year we got over 12,000 applications. So
wow.
We, you know, ran out of space after by February. So we had to kind of look to a wait list. And I know every school is a little bit different with this. But since we do review applications based on date of entry, I definitely suggest as early as students can to get those in. And since, like, we do it that way, the earlier they hear, get the application in, the earlier applicants hear back from us. So that kind of gives time to come visit campus, maybe attend an open house, things like that, before paying that deposit. So the deposit deadline is May 1st. So if students receive their letter well before that, that gives them time to maybe even attend an event on campus, come to one of our sporting events or a school play, to kind of see if that's the right fit for them. And then my last piece of advice is something that I tell to high school students, but it's also something I tell to students when they're here enrolled on at Cortland or wherever they may be going to school, is develop close relationships with the faculty, the staff, your professors, your coaches, peers, students that are older than you, students that are younger than you. Just develop as many connections as possible, because it definitely will help. I talk about this woman all the time, but Dr. Burke, our department chair of the economics department at the time, she was my academic advisor. So every student has an academic advisor that's there to walk them through everything. And so she was mine, luckily, and we became so close. She helped open so many doors for me, find me internship, a study abroad program. I studied abroad in Portugal at the European Innovation Academy.
Wow.
And then it led to, I got a full-time job here on campus, honestly, basically because I knew so many people that worked here in this department. And that sometimes it really is all about who you know to get opportunities in life in general and to find out about things and meeting people from all over different places. So we have a lot of international students here. So becoming friends with international students, you learn about other cultures, students from other states even, or just different backgrounds, because you learn so much from each other and you can gain so much from having those strong relationships. So in high school and in college, I think this is very important.
Well, Alex, thank you so much. This has been an awesome conversation and I am so happy because I know it's going to help so many students and parents navigate through the college admissions process. So we hope to have you again. I want to thank you. You were awesome. We really appreciate all your insight today, Alex.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so happy that to help. And I hope something I say resonates with students. The college admissions process can be a little scary, but it can also be amazing and excited. And so myself and other college admissions counselors all over, we're here to help and we're excited for anything that you need. So I'm so happy that I was able to spread this information.
Well, you certainly did. And again, we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to PrepExpert.com to guarantee your child's success.